The state assembly voted 52-46 to pass the state budget early this morning, more than 12 hours after debate began, sending the $73 billion two-year spending plan to Governor Scott Walker. Governor Walker can use his veto authority to edit or remove items before he signs it into law. What do you want to see him do with the state budget? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 9th. We will hear from four different guests during this hour, a state budget roundup, and we want to hear from you too. We start with Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He is the co-vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You probably didn't get a lot of sleep. What time did things wrap up this morning?
We were done that early morning and then drove back to Brookfield, but that's okay.
Well, how pleased are you with this budget?
I think I'm happy with where we ended up. Essentially, the only place we ended up with a cut was the University of Wisconsin system, and that was consistent with Governor Doyle's cut a couple of years ago. And I didn't want to do that, but essentially what we were looking at is the federal government puts on us maintenance of effort requirements on Medicaid, and so we're spending over $1 billion on Medicaid again this budget because of the inflexibilities of Medicaid. And so that's something that, you know, every state needs to figure out as we look at an aging population and the rising cost of health care. So with that aside, I mean, we listened to folks and we made adjustments. We put over $200 million back into education. We did a lot of things that people didn't hear about as far as increasing resources for adoption, AIDS research, more money in the Well Woman program. And so I think as we go out there and we now talk about this budget and what we've done, I think people are going to have a better feel for the budget overall. And even some of the stuff that was more controversial, like the 10-year changes, if you really talk to people about that and say, listen, we were the only state in the entire country that had that in the statutes, and now we're like every other state, I think people will understand more that a lot of the stuff that sounded radical was not radical at all. And essentially, we are just listening to people. We put more money into schools and more money into a lot of different programs, and we'll see how things roll out the next couple months and years. But I have no doubt that Wisconsin will be better off in 2 years, just like we're better off than we were 5 years ago.
Yeah. How do you respond to many Democrats, including Madison's state representative, Therese Brousseau, who called it the worst budget she's ever seen in that it rolled back longstanding policies and traditions in Wisconsin, like local control, faculty tenure, and labor laws?
Yeah, I don't know how she says that. I mean, this isn't an austerity budget. We are actually spending more in this budget. And once again, the only thing that's substantial being cut was the University of Wisconsin. We restored the money for public radio. A lot of things are the cuts that you heard about. The Joint Finance Committee worked tirelessly to find the money to restore those funds. But the other thing is, you know, we didn't solve our problems by raising any taxes or fees or anything else. There'll be, once again, lower property taxes in Wisconsin. Our income taxes are on a downward trajectory. We did things like say that teachers that spend money in their own classroom should be able to deduct those from their tax returns. So teachers in Wisconsin will see lower taxes. Small businessmen in Wisconsin will see lower taxes. And we took a healthy bite out of the marriage penalty in Wisconsin. So, you know, I think that's just, you know, what the minority party will always do. Whenever there's a budget, they always claim this is the worst budget in the world. 2 years ago, they said the same thing. And they didn't even debate the budget. If you recall, they just said, this is the worst budget in the world. We're not debating it. It's that bad. And so I think that's just kind of what people say in politics. But if you really look at it, I think this politics is a lot more palatable to people than what has been reported the last couple months once they really know what we've done.
Yeah. Well, what about the cut to the DNR and no taxpayer support for state parks? That's another cut, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you look at, there are some cuts to the DNR, but if you look at how we compare to other states, I mean, we're putting the resources still in the DNR that we need to maintain a first-class park system. I mean, I think what I always talk about in budgets is people are really focused on the inputs about the money, like where's it going and how much are we spending, but what we should really worry about the outputs. And we've talked about this on many occasions, but you look at education, where are we at from 5 years ago? And 5 years ago, During Act 10, a lot of the Democrats said, you're gutting education. You're gutting public school education in Wisconsin. But if you look at the facts, what's happened is our graduation rate in Wisconsin has increased from 86% to 88%. Our ACT scores have increased. The minority graduation rate in Wisconsin has substantially increased, closing that gap. So if you actually look at the outputs, if you actually look at what's going on, Wisconsin is in better shape economically. We're in better shape on the education front.
Oh, I think we lost our guest on our gremlin knee phone system. So let me know, producers, if he's there or when he's there. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm sorry, Representative Cuenca, every once in a while our phone system has a fit. But let me bring Vicki in Stoughton on the air. She has a question. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. I just find it astounding that Representative Cuenca can say that we are better off now than we were 5 years ago, when we are 40th in the nation for job growth. Our public schools are suffering. They're taking money from public schools to fund private education. Where is this whole Republican mantra about personal responsibility? When they expanded the voucher program a few years ago, over 70% of the people that were enrolled, in it, already had their kids in private schools.
Yeah, thank you, Vicki. Well, Representative Cuenca, what about you're giving more taxpayer money to private schools, and public schools are suffering.
Yeah, this is one of those interesting issues, because you really think about it, Republicans are supporting an entitlement. What it is this is a program for people that are poor. This is not something for even the middle class or upper middle class. The voucher program is for people in poverty, and it's a program in education to choose a school which is best for them. And although you look at the numbers aren't really that big as far as money going towards the voucher system versus public school education. In fact, it's somewhere between 1% and 2% of all education spending in Wisconsin over the next 10 years. So I understand some folks that they don't like the idea of a voucher program, but essentially if you look at it, all we're doing is providing choices in education, and the best schools will win out, and I think that we could support both systems.
Yeah. And how do you respond to Vicki saying we're not very good when it comes to our economy and job growth compared to other states? How can you say we're better off now?
Yeah, I mean, our unemployment rate's lower. There are definitely more jobs in Wisconsin than there were 5 years ago. If you look at 5 years ago, because of we weren't hit as hard by the recession, the swing back wasn't as large either. So that's kind of when you look at the number of jobs created, you're a little bit behind other states. But if you look at the unemployment rate, there are more jobs in Wisconsin. I mean, those metrics show that we're in much better shape.
Randy on Facebook says, I thought the governor goes through the budget line by line and approves or vetoes. This would normally take a few weeks. How is Mr. Walker going to do this in a few days when he will be out of state campaigning all next week? I think Randy referring to the governor is going to be announcing his candidacy for president on Monday. Do you expect that he would sign this budget before that announcement?
I don't know. I haven't talked to the governor's office about when he's going to sign the budget, but if you recall, the budget's been sitting out there, and it's close to present form for about a month. There was some policy debates between the Senate and the Assembly, and things had to be worked out. So I think in that time, the governor's office had a lot of time to actually look at what was in there and already decide what they're vetoing. They haven't communicated it to us. In fact, just in any compromises, even stuff in there that we hope that he vetoes. Yeah, you have to talk to the governor's office exactly what their timetable is and what they're thinking about that.
What do you want him to veto?
There's a couple items in there. I mean, there's a hotel tax in there that said that, like Brookfield, for example, they have a hotel tax, and that goes towards police and fire. And the state law was changed, and they have to put that towards tourism spending. I just really, would like to see the local control win out on that issue. Because essentially what that does is essentially it puts pressure on property tax, property owners. So, I mean, just the party's a big tent, and there's some things in omnibus motions that you just don't agree with. Not a lot, but there's some items I hope he vetoes, and we'll see if he does that.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. I know that you are pushing for a proposal that would make all budget motions posted 24 hours in advance of a committee adoption or consideration. This in response to the open records changes that wound up not going through. How is that going over with your colleagues?
I heard a lot of support. I mean, there's some people that in leadership ask from a practical standpoint, how does that work? But I think if you really think about it, I think it really serves both good policy and politics to just put what we're going to do out there and hear public input. And then, you know, public input is actually part of the vetting process. So I'm going to be drafting it up. I think Senator Howard Markline is going to be the lead in the Senate on that. And we're going to try to change this process, which has been going on for 100 years. And both parties have used it to their advantage. And I think we really just need to have more transparency and more input as we go through this process. I think, you know,
thank you very much. We have news next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the state budget that was passed by the State Assembly early this morning. The State Senate passed it earlier this week, so now it's on its way to Governor Walker. We are hearing from four different guests throughout the hour, and we want to hear from you, too. What do you like about this budget? What do you not like about this budget? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Galen McKinley, an associate professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison. Her opinion piece, Scott Walker and the legislature should stop swinging hammers at education, appeared last month in the Capital Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you so much for joining us extra early from the West Coast.
You're welcome.
So we just heard from State Representative Dale Coinga, who is co-vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. He said that besides the $250 million cut to the University of Wisconsin system, this budget really doesn't cut spending anywhere, and he thinks it's a decent budget. What do you think?
Well, I mean, focusing on the issues for education, while it's true that the money for the K-12 education was restored from that $127 million cut as proposed, there's a lot of ways that money is being siphoned off from schools, such as the fact that schools can't actually increase spending if they get any additional money. There's $69 million for the second year, and schools can't use that money. Actually, they have to return it in the form of property taxes to their people of their city. So it's actually that will mean that as expenses go up, you know, we all know that there's inflation and things get more expensive over time, so schools will be losing money out of that.
Yeah,
and then also there's the vouchers that will remove money from public schools and put them into private parochial schools that are not accountable by the same standards.
His response to the voucher school expansion was, hey, this is a program that helps low-income people allow their children to get a good education. What's your response to that?
Well, I think the evidence is that what we've seen so far from the University of Wisconsin, studies that have been done on the voucher program in Milwaukee is that it's not really been very helpful for low income to the degree that it's promised to be, and that the evidence doesn't really support expansion of it, nor has there been a strong call from people in those districts to expand this program.
You wrote that your husband is a high school science teacher. What kinds of changes is he going to see in his classroom and in his school as a result of this budget?
Right. Well, I mean, already, of course, schools have been projecting what this budget is going to do for them. Obviously, with just passing, there is some flux as to what actually will happen. But what he's observed in the past 10 years as a teacher in Monona Grove School District is that his class sizes have gotten significantly larger by almost 50%. So when he started in 2005, 22 students was what normally he had in a in a classroom, and now he's about looking at 30 students or more per class for things like AP Physics in the fall. And so that's, you know, means that you've got 50% less time for each student, and that means each student gets less attention, less help, and ultimately, as that adds up over the years, that's a reduction in the quality of education for all students as that kind of change propagates. I also see that in my kids, their kindergarten and elementary school classrooms.
Yeah. How concerned are you about the future of the UW system, in particular with the $250 million cut, tuition freeze, and the changes in faculty tenure?
Yeah, so I think that the you know, the University of Wisconsin system certainly will continue and will continue to be a good state university for sure. There's a lot of wonderful people working there who will continue to do their best work. But the real challenges are that as we have seen budget cuts for the past 10 years to the university, now on top of that, the largest budget cut, you know, we've ever seen, and these attacks on faculty tenure, it really makes the coming to University of Wisconsin-Madison a much less, you know, interesting prospect for people who, and for particularly for the most competitive faculty members, those people who are best at bringing in grants to the university. The University of Wisconsin-Madison brings in about $1 billion per year in outside money to the state, and that's through a competitive grants process where you have to write a very detailed plan for research, turns into about a 100-page document that you submit. And only about 10% of those, once reviewed by a panel of peers and a whole bunch of other loops, only about 10% of those actually get accepted. And that's how the university gets that $1 billion. And so as we lose the most competitive people or can no longer retain them if they're being sought by other universities, which we know is already starting to happen, or we can't, you know, hire them when they're young, that's how the University of Wisconsin system gets weaker over time, and it makes it really difficult to maintain the quality of research and to continue to support the state economy to the tune of $1 billion per year. So all the evidence suggests that, you know, all the $1 spent by the state brings in about $24 in money to the state from the University of Wisconsin system. And so we need to keep that up. We need to invest in that, and that's really not what's happening here. So I am concerned that we're looking at, you know, kind of a slide of the University of Wisconsin, Madison in particular, which is one I know best. But it's not like it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, over the next 5 years, we'll lose some of those top performers. It'll be harder to hire people. We've already seen that some people who had offers on the table have said, no, I don't want to come to this place when the budget looks this way for the next 2 years. And, you know, it's going to be a slow slide unless we turn things around.
Yeah, well, playing off the title of your piece, why do you think Scott Walker and the legislature are swinging hammers at education?
I really can't understand it. You know, as the stewards of the public trust, their job is to do its best for the citizens both today and tomorrow. And it's clear that the education system in Wisconsin has been really something that the citizens of the state have done really well over time for our investment over decades in high-quality K-12 education with high standards for our teachers and with a great, you know, one of the very top public education systems and with the flagship of UW-Madison that competes globally as a top university. Why would we destroy this when we have built something and invested over time, done the, you know, been smart about putting money little by little over time to build a really strong system with a strong tenure system that gets people here and keeps them here? Why would they destroy that? I really can't understand why they would do that and I don't understand how the people of the state support that, although, of course, the votes in the legislature were tight, I think more people should recognize that something like an education system that's so great, that supports our economy, is something that we need to continue investing in for the benefit of all of us and all our children, you know, for the long term. But, you know, nothing good comes easy. And we all know that investment is something that you have to do little by little over time, and we need to continue.
One call from Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm not with the governor at all in any way, but I think even in Wisconsin, the education system is kind of broken. It doesn't seem to be working for the students.
How so?
A lot of kids from the university can't find jobs. And a lot of kids that go to the tech schools get jobs immediately. And we should be putting more money into it. But I think we should be smarter about degrees offered and where we're steering all the kids to.
Yeah, well, what about that, Professor McKinley?
Well, I definitely think that sentiment has some, you know, what the university does, it offers opportunity. We offer majors across a whole range of things: engineering, chemistry, sociology, art, and students can choose what they want to pursue. And what we really have seen in the last 5 years or so are students doing exactly what the caller suggests they should do, is really taking a harder look at where the major that they're going to take will lead them and focusing on those majors. So engineering is up. Things like statistics, computer science are up. And so I think that the university does offer many opportunities. And I think we, of course, need to continue as a university to be responsive to employers' needs. And I think that we are, we are hearing that message and doing a lot of work to do that. So I agree that we need to continue to work towards that, but also recognize that what the university offers is not a single plan of where you're going to go, but an opportunity.
Yeah. Do you have 30 seconds worth of advice for Governor Walker as he gets ready to sign this budget?
Well, I hope that Governor Walker thinks not only about the statement on his budget that he's going to make when he announces his presidential bid on Monday, but that he also thinks about the future of all citizens of this great state of Wisconsin and thinks about his legacy in that respect as he thinks about signing this budget, and hope he makes some good considerations to go lighter on particularly the education system.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Galen McKinley, Associate Professor of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. Her opinion piece, Scott Walker, "The Legislature Should Stop Swinging Hammers at Education," appeared last month in the Capital Times. We are getting a variety of guests to respond to the state budget that passed early this morning in the state assembly. The budget now is on its way to Governor Walker's desk, and Governor Walker can use his veto authority to edit or remove items before he signs it into law. Do you want him to edit or remove any items before he signs it into law, or do you like this budget just the way it is? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is one of our Friday Week in Review contributors, Steve Prestigard, a journalist and blogger at steveprestigard.com. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a little confused because it's not Friday yet.
I know.
Bear with me, if you will.
Well, we asked you to join us because since you're a pro business guy, what would you say that this budget is good or bad for Wisconsin businesses and the state's economy?
I guess it's more good than bad. There's still a lot of stuff that's in it that I don't think should have. I think also that it still spends too much money and taxes too much. I don't think that I like having the one tax cut that's in there, but I don't think it's going to significantly improve people's personal financial picture, and the state is still going to end up as having some of the highest state and local taxes in the country. Certainly it's better than what Democrats could have come up with. I do think it is interesting to note that there's you know, that many Republicans that voted against it. I think that, you know, there seems to be among Democrats this idea that Republicans are a monolith and they all think alike, vote alike, and all of that. And that clearly is not the case when you look at the 11 people in the assembly that voted for it, most of whom I know, and Rob Coles in the Senate who voted against it.
Yeah, he voted against it because he thought it had too much policy in it and didn't think the budget was a place for that.
All right, and I can certainly see that. I would like to see that coming from Democrats the next time that they have a budget, because, you know, all the people complaining about Republicans having too many policy items in the budget, I don't think said anything when Democrats were doing the exact same thing. Trying to get institutional reform in this instance when the legislators are responsible for reforming their own body, I don't think that's going to work. It, you know, self-interest and all of that. We all remember that from poli-sci class.
Yeah.
Or economics class.
You hinted at it. There are some tax changes in the budget, including increasing the standard deduction for married couples filing jointly by $550. Property taxes pretty much stay flat. You say this isn't good enough?
I don't think so, because, you know, Tommy Thompson, if I remember correctly, in the 1990s, had at least two major income tax breaks, or tax breaks, I should say. Tommy also, in the 90s, of course, established the qualified economic offer, which limited school budget increases, which in turn more held the line on property taxes. And I would have preferred more looking at where we spend money in the state budget with an idea of returning it to taxpayers instead of, hey, let's spend more money on this. I'm sure you have heard this morning, you'll hear later, people saying that there's not enough money being spent on education, even though in K-12 it's an increase next year, not this year, obviously. And the $250 million cut, which was $300 million, in the UW system budget. I understand those points of view. I then asked the question of, well, what are you willing to cut in order to spend more money on the UW system? And you never get that answer out of people. They always want more money spent on something without saying what they'd be willing to spend less on in some other cases.
Let me bring Darlene in Lincoln County in. Hi, Darlene. What's your question or point?
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me on. When I think of budget and saving the people, it's just an oxymoron. For a first example, cutting the fees for the state parks, the people have to pay more, so we're not saving any money. And the schools, every single dollar that's going to the voucher program is being taken away from the public schools, which could increase the benefits of the public schools for all of the kids. And now we have referendums on the schools. If they do not pass, we've got schools closing. If they do pass, we're having to pay more because of the referendums.
Yeah.
So how does that benefit the public?
Steve?
What it does is it requires school districts to make the case to voters that they should get more money for them. That's what the referendum process does. I live in a part of the state that's had school districts that have asked for referenda, and they have gotten their requests. I think there's more that have gotten requests and have had them turned out. As far as the state parks thing, what that is an example of is people using the parks, paying for the parks, instead of having, you know, taxpayers, some of whom would not go to the parks for whatever reason, paying for them. That is, I mean, it's, you can say that, you know, it's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's obviously what's going on. It is shifting money, shifting spending from, you know, everybody where nobody has a say to people having a say by, if they go to the parks, they pay more to pay for the parks.
Steve, we have less than 30 seconds. What advice do you have for Governor Walker as he gets his veto pen ready?
I think that he should, for instance, get rid of the provision of the job confidentiality thing for UW system employees. That does not make sense. That would be one thing. I think he also the legislature cut money from WEDIC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, to local economic development groups. that could should be restored, because the local economic development groups, they know what they're doing.
I got it, and I'm sorry, we have news. Thanks, Steve. Steve Prestigard. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with various guests about the state budget that passed in the state assembly early this morning. Already we've heard from Republican State Representative Dale Coinga, a UW-Madison professor who was concerned about how the budget treats education, and journalist and blogger Steve Prestigard. Now we will hear from Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout and the Minority Caucus Vice Chair. We also welcome your questions and your reactions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Senator Vinehout, good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, well, what's your analysis of this budget? What's your reaction to it?
The governor's spending the money in the wrong places, and I'm afraid my good friend Dale Kiyanki did not give you the right information in terms of the budget cuts. By my count, about a third of the separate programs in the state received cuts, so for him to say what he did was wrong. This budget spent $73 billion, which is about $3 billion more than the last, so these cuts did not have to happen.
Yeah, he said it was primarily the UW system that took the $250 million cut. You're saying a whole lot more than the UW system took cuts?
Absolutely, and he can look at the nonpartisan fiscal bureau document. There's a lot of different ways you could count up the cuts, but if you just look at the different 59 different major programs, about a third of them, 36%, have negative numbers. So I don't know where he's coming up with that, but it's not the fiscal bureau.
Yeah, so what do you think is the worst part of this budget?
Certainly education, both K-12 and the university system. I did a little bit of math while I was listening, and in the 08-09 fiscal year, the state paid about 25% of the total UW budget. In the first Governor Walker budget, it had dropped to 18%. So there has been a long-term decline in funding both the university and the and K-12, and the consequences are real, and it may take a generation for us to dig out of the hole that the governor and the Republican legislators are leaving education in this budget.
Let me take a call from Art in Milwaukee. Hello, Art.
Hi. Well, I actually called for the prior guest because he said no one ever talks about where you can save the money when you're cutting $250 million out of the UW system. And if we weren't so ideological in Madison, we'd take the federal money. They've refused, I think, that much in Medicaid money over ideology, which some Republican governors have taken, but not in Wisconsin. And that's where you could save the money.
Senator Vinehout?
Absolutely. There's a lot of places we could save the money, which is why I put together an alternative budget that took the Medicaid money, which is about $360 million, more than enough to fully fund the cuts to the UW and to put another $10 or $15 million into needs-based financial aid, which we sorely need to do. And as you know, it's not just the cuts in this budget. The president of the UW was talking about a structural deficit going into this budget based on the series of cuts that have happened. So there's other places we could go. There's $71 million in new spending for private schools to get money, state money, and that's not counting the statewide expansion that comes straight out of the local schools, the statewide expansion of the private schools. So there are all kinds of places that spending decisions were made that are wrong, and they're going to have long-term consequences for this state.
Yeah. Speaking of the Medicare or Medicaid money, that reminded me that one of the last times we spoke on this program, we were talking to you about long-term care, senior care, and care for the disabled. How did this budget ultimately treat those programs?
The senior care funds were restored after almost 14,000 people signed a petition, and legislators from all over the state collected and presented those petitions to the leaders. The changes in the IRS and Family Care program, which are for the poorest among us that are frail, elderly, and disabled, although they were modified, it still opens the door to, for the whole program to be given to one very large insurance company. And I don't think it's any accident that the only folks that spoke at the Joint Finance Committee Rice Lake hearing that were in favor of the budget were two lobbyists for Humana and United Healthcare. They stand to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the people that are going to suffer are the people that are the least among us, the people that struggle every day to get out of bed because they need a personal care worker to help them. And it's wrong. It's absolutely immoral.
Is there anything good about this budget?
Well, the governor puts more money into broadband. I would have liked to seen more in the Public Service Commission. He does that. I do agree with some of the changes that were made in the transportation budget. The bonding that the governor gave the legislative Republicans was way too high. I did the math, and some of the changes that they made were changes that I would have made, but there's a lot of hurt, and because some of these changes are phased in slowly over time, it's going to take people a while to see the effect of these changes. A good example are the changes to the Family Care and IRIS program.
Dan on Facebook says, Governor Walker is doing a great job considering the Obama economy and the years of overregulation and extreme taxing of job creators and other damage that the left has done to this state. It will take time to fix it. We have a worker shortage now, not a jobs shortage. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it sounds like a Republican talking point. The problems we have in Wisconsin are wage problems. When I look at my part of the state, we're looking at 3% unemployment, but wages are dropping, and wages in Minnesota are gangbusters. So there's a lot of discussion about whether or not the economic approach that the governor and the Republicans have used is working. When I look at the changes in this budget, there are huge investments, if you want to call them that, in what refundable tax credits, companies that pay absolutely no money and still get a check from the state for doing virtually nothing. There, we already know that the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation hasn't actually verified that a single job was created. So is it a good idea to put all of this money into tax credits for companies that are already paying nothing in taxes? A lot of people in my district, conservatives and Republicans both, are saying no. Too much money was given away to the governor's friends. That money should have been used to pay the bills.
Let's go to Todd in Milwaukee. Hello, Todd.
Hello. I think she just hit it right on the head. I'm going to say, first of all, people can't forget, we have a governor and the Republican Party that have single-handedly attacked everything to wages. Everything, it all comes down to wages in this state. They have made it so that a person cannot make a higher wage because it benefits the person that owns the business. Now, that being said, that ties in exactly to the budget cuts, because I'll tell you what, if you're making a good wage, you don't really care about the budget cuts as much, and you're not so concerned about paying higher taxes. The problem is what they did is they lowered the wages. Now everybody's fighting each other because everybody's afraid of their taxes going up. So now they're looking at their neighbors saying, well, that person makes too much money, or this person gets more benefits. And it's a divide-and-conquer tactic, and I really hope that the people of Wisconsin wake up and realize it all comes down to you getting a higher wage, and then the stuff will not bother you as much. And also, in addition, the thing with education, it doesn't affect education. The reason why they've cut education so strongly is because people that own businesses and these really multimillionaires, they don't need higher educated people as much as they need just labor, and that's why Walker supports tech schools.
I have to jump in, Todd, because you've given us way too much to talk about unlimited time. But let me, very briefly, Senator Vinehout, do you think that the governor and the Republican-controlled legislature are going after education because they're anti-education?
There are very strong interest groups that want to privatize education, and I think that's one of the biggest drivers across the country, and people are beginning to wake up to that. Not investing in the UW, wanting to turn the UW into tech school, is I think everything is summed up in that line that the governor wanted to strike truth from the mission statement of the UW, because that's what universities do. They try to seek truth, and they try to teach it to students. The less people know, the less they're able to counter what's happening in their government that's not right. I think that explains some of the cuts to public radio or public broadcasting, which I strongly disagree with. So people need to know. People need to be involved. The more they're involved in their democracy, the more it works.
Yeah. Are you okay with repealing the prevailing wage for local governments?
No, absolutely not. It goes back to what Todd was just saying about wages. Mm-hmm. There's been a series of bills and several pieces of policy in this budget that drive down wages. Wisconsin already has a wage problem. When we look at comparing our wage to the national average, we're below the national average. We're way below Minnesota, that it's going gangbusters in its economy. We need to drive up people's wages. Any policy that drives down wages is a bad idea. Changing the minimum wage, which was also policy put in this budget.
That changed the language that said that a minimum wage needed to be a living wage?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. In that final 999 motion, most of which was policy, that all of the references that I could see in the statute to living wage were struck. And that means that part of the law was eliminated.
Yeah. We have just a minute or so to go. What vetoes would you like to see from Governor Walker?
Well, I don't expect to get this, but the governor needs to take the new spending for private schools and put it into public schools and put it into the UW.
Yeah. Well, what else would you advise him to do with the state budget besides that?
Well, if he got rid of all of the policy, the budget would shrink dramatically. There's about 150 different pieces of policy, and it's dramatically increased in the last couple of years. When the Democrats had control, there were about 30 pieces of policy. Now, all policy in the budget is difficult because people can't see it. They don't know what's happening. There's no public hearing.
Yeah. And very briefly, do you think he's going to sign this, be done with it by the time he announces on Monday?
I do, yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us. Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator from Alma and the Minority Caucus Vice Chair. Governor Walker now has the state budget before him, and he can decide whether he's going to use his partial veto or not on this document. He will be announcing his intention to run for president on Monday. 5 o'clock in Waukesha, I believe, is the time. We'll be talking more about that next week. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Caleb Blado, and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We're going to be talking with the author of A New Juvenile Justice System coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.